Let us turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to page 63, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52, question and answer 127. Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we'll consider the other two question and answers in this Lord's Day. But for this evening, question and answer 127, page 63. What does the sixth request mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means by ourselves. We are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Let us take our Bibles and turn in them to the New Testament. First to the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, verse 21, page 1200, page 1200 in the Pew Bibles, Romans 7. We'll read through chapter 8, verse 2. But begin at Romans 7, verse 21. People of God, hear now God's holy word. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Let us turn to the book of James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 13, page 1288 in the Pew Bibles. James 1, read verses 13 through 15. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, James 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, the Christian life, it's one of struggle. It's not a political struggle, an economic struggle, a class struggle, a racial struggle. No struggle using earthly weapons. We're not talking about that. It's a spiritual struggle. And it's the greatest of all struggles. It's a struggle against sin. And it's too great for you, too great for me. And so Jesus, knowing this, instructs us to pray, to ask your Heavenly Father to help you fight against sin. Ask your Heavenly Father to help you fight against sin. That's what I proclaim to you this evening. And first we consider that there is weakness within. There is weakness within. Now the previous request, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that was a request for forgiveness. That God would not hold against us any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. It was a request that our record be cleared. That God would hold us, would declare us to be righteous. That's justification. Justification is when God credits Christ's righteousness to a believer so that God declares the believer to be as righteous as Christ is righteous. And that involves the believer's sins, all our sins being forgiven completely. Forever. That's our status before God of the believer. Righteous. Perfectly righteous as Christ is righteous. Each and every believer from the first moment of saving faith, the first moment of the Christian life, is declared by God to be perfect, fully righteous, for Christ's sake. But you and I know we personally are not righteous in and of ourselves. We still sin. Until the day you and I die, we will sin against our God. We don't like it. That's reality. And so our status is one of being perfectly and fully righteous. But our condition is one of still sinning. Our status is of being declared righteous. Our condition is one of sinning. This request then, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, deals with persevering in the midst of the sin, persevering in the Christian life, deals with our progress in holiness, our struggle, our sanctification. So justification, sanctification. Justification is that act that occurs outside of us and does not produce a change within us. It's solely how God views us, justification, through faith alone, apart from all our works. But the other occurs within us. It's Christ by His Spirit changing us. It's God renewing us, sanctification. We need both of these, justification, sanctification, for the Christian life. And Jesus teaches us to pray for both. Forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation. Let's consider more about this perseverance, this sanctification that we're praying for when we pray, lead us not into temptation. We're weak, spiritually speaking. Young men, you might be very strong. You might be able to bench press your own weight and then some. But spiritually, we are all very weak. We see this comes out in what we read from Romans 7. There, the Apostle Paul wrote about a conflict he has within himself. He delights in God's law, but there's another law at work in the members of his body, waging war against the law of his mind. Waging war, that's what he wrote. And it makes him a prisoner. He cannot win. He cannot defeat that enemy himself. He's too weak to do so. It's not as though he occasionally loses, but mostly wins. It's not as though he sometimes wins and sometimes loses. The picture the apostle points is that in himself, by himself, he loses always. He is captive. He is weak. There is weakness within. That's the way it is with us, congregation. Because we live after Adam's fall into sin. We are born with a sinful nature. The sinful nature afflicts us until the day we die. We are too weak spiritually to live a holy life. We have no strength on our own. And that's after we've been converted to God. After the Holy Spirit has made us spiritually alive so that we desire to live for God. Notice the apostle in verse 22 said in his inner being, he delights in God's law. Catechism rightly summarizes the Bible's teaching when it says, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. Brothers and sisters, we need to realize our weakness, the weakness within, in order to pray this request rightly. We cannot approach God thinking, well, by ourselves, I can do good. I need God's help only for the really strong temptations. The ones that, I continue to give into again and again, or the ones I face repeatedly. No, we need God all the time. We're too weak to hold our own even for a moment. So we pray, lead us not into temptation. Now here, we're not praying so much to avoid temptation, to avoid situations of spiritual conflict. And that's impossible. Every moment of our lives, there is this conflict. Brothers and sisters, every second, you are being tempted. We live in a fallen world. We live as fallen people. We live in the midst of temptation. So it has an eye toward the ultimate deliverance, but in this life, this is, Lord, deliver us. Now, certainly we are not to put ourselves in the place of temptation. We are not to seek it out. We are not to go where we know sin waits for us. So young people, as you court, as you date someone, clearly resolve between yourselves and your parents, you will strive to avoid situations where you too would be severely tempted. And then by God's grace, follow through. Don't be too proud. Don't be ashamed of previous failures to ask for help. You should avoid those situations. But that's not especially what we're praying for here. The key to understanding what we're praying for here is to look at that lead or bring, that word. In this temptation in which we live, this world, this life, this reality of temptation, do not lead us there. Do not bring us there and leave us there. It's the heart of this request, that God would not bring us and leave us, that He would not then lead us into temptation. Children, think if your brother, your sister, a friend, there's a dark room, and you're walking toward it. Maybe it's somewhat scary. You're headed there together. You don't want to be there alone. Perhaps you say, no way, don't leave me in there. I'm not going in there. Don't leave me alone. So it is with temptation, what we ask of the Lord. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Don't leave me there. Because, oh Lord, if you bring me and leave me, if I am led into temptation, I will fall. Lord, I'm too weak. I am too weak to hold my own even for a moment. Don't abandon me. Hold me fast. Lord, I cannot face it alone, not by myself. That's a cry of faith. It's a cry that realizes our own weakness, realizes the Lord's strength, and pleads for His presence, His help, His grace. Within us is weakness, but with God, that's strength. We pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Congregation, do you realize your spiritual weakness? Perhaps you've been a child of God 80, 90 years. The Lord has blessed you abundantly. He's had you grow over the years. Even the most spiritually mature among us, though, is so weak in ourselves. The spiritually mature especially know it. They know they need the Lord's presence every passing hour. That what but God's grace can foil the tempter's power. Abide with me. That's our request, brothers and sisters. That's the prayer we pray. Lead us not into temptation. There is weakness within us. And our weakness is a problem. Especially because, as we turn to in our second point, because of the enemies around us. Enemies around. Now, children, if you're afraid of going into a dark room alone or going in first and being left there, why? Is it simply because it's dark? No, it's more so because of the unknown. Who, what might be in the dark? Of you being alone in there. What might happen to you? And so it is with temptation. We know we're too weak spiritually to hold our own even for a moment. So we ask God, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Because there are spiritual enemies around us. Waiting in temptation. Waiting to destroy us. They are attacking us spiritually, continually. Enemies are all around us. The Catechism, echoing Scripture, identifies these enemies as the world, the flesh, the devil. What the Bible means when it says the world is our enemy is not the physical world, this stuff. But it's the sinful philosophies. It's the sinful expectations. It's the sinful communities, the sinful friends, acquaintances, drawing away. All that make up this fallen humanity and social environment in which we live that is not in accordance with God's law. It hates us because we're on the side of God, we're on the side of righteousness, and it calls us to join in its rebellion against God. You know of what we speak. Consists of acquaintances, classmates, co-workers, even family members that call us to fritter away money on ourselves selfishly. Pursue our own wants and desires. Join them in sinful pleasures. Watch the ball game on Sunday. Skip church. love money, love land, be a rebel, go against the authorities, and so forth. The temptations of the world, they come to us in every area of life in so many different ways. It's the world that tempts women to be feminists while at the same time tempts men to be chauvinists. It's the world that tempts us to envy the rich while at the same time being stingy toward the poor. It gives us those messages, doesn't it? This world joins with the devil, another enemy, and his host of demons, sworn enemies. Now, we don't know much about the devil, but all that God tells us in his word is that the devil is an enemy of us. He goes about seeking to devour those who confess Christ. He seeks only our harm, never our good. And he does this by tempting us, by moving the wicked against the righteous, by seeking to sow discord in the church through conflict, through error. He seeks to deceive. Congregation, the devil is real. And he is your enemy, your sworn enemy. You cannot make peace with him. He seeks only your harm. But there's a third category of enemy, and that is our own flesh. James speaks of that from what we read in verse 14 and 15. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Our flesh is our enemy. Now, we can apply this to our fight against temptation. From James here, don't let it take root. The moment there is that sinful desire, the moment there is that sinful thought, confess it to God as sinful. Confess this desire that seeks to lure and entice you as sinful, as wrong. Ask Him to forgive you, to change you, to renew you. Do that every time you have a sinful desire or thought. Don't let it take root. Every time. Pastor, maybe you're thinking, I'd be praying every 2 seconds. Surely you don't mean that every time. Yes, I do mean that. We are in a spiritual war. In a war, if the enemy is in front of you, what do? You shoot. If there are lots of enemies, what do? You keep shooting. You shoot every time there's an enemy, don't you? You don't let an enemy come up, you shoot him. Spiritually, we're talking. Don't let the spiritual enemies get by. Don't let sin take root. This desire lures and entices. Stop it there by God's grace. If you are able to be tempted by a sinful desire every 2 seconds, you are able to pray to God every 2 seconds about it. Seriously. Every time there's a sinful thought or desire, go to the Lord in prayer. Where do these scandals come from in the churches around us, in our own lives? They don't come out of the blue. James says, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. It starts small, and it starts with us not by God's grace uprooting and confessing that desire. Plead God's grace for forgiveness. Plead His grace for renewal. Remember and believe what Christ has done. He has died to that desire that lures and entices. He died and He rose from the dead. Remember and believe that Christ did that for you. And you died with Christ. This desire that entices and lures, it is foreign to who you are in Christ. And it does not belong. You died and were raised. Therefore, plead His blood and righteousness every time. Young people, you must pray this prayer. For Christ told us, lead us not into temptation. And as you do, you must strive with all your might against these enemies. Realize lust is your enemy. Fight against it. Realize that disobedience toward your parents is your enemy. Fight against it. Realize that greed and the draw to power, they are your enemy. Fight against them. We know that these desires that lure and entice, we know they're sinful, we know they're wrong. Perhaps the greatest challenge comes to you and me in that you might not want to resist them. Children, you know you should obey your father, your mother, don't you? But you don't always want to. Sometimes you would rather do what you want to do. You would rather do these things. They strike you as more appealing. Righteousness, it strikes you as boring, as stifling. The world tells us that too, don't we? We'd rather play the video game for another 5 minutes than take out the garbage like Mom told us. Rather talk with your friends on the phone or text than do the dishes now Mom asked you to. You'd rather have sensual pleasure than chastity. Those are all sin, though. They are desires that entice and lure. As God's servant, I declare to you, congregation, what is right. But as God's servant, I cannot change your heart. I can't make you desire the right. And neither can anyone else. You can't. You cannot change your heart so that you desire to do what's good. So that you finally wake up and say, I don't want to do that sin anymore. Only God can do that work. That's why we pray this prayer. Because your own flesh attacks you spiritually. Your own sinful nature wants you to do what you know you shouldn't do. So even if you want this desire that arises, lures, pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I'm too weak. Help me. The sinful nature within you, children, it delays obedience to your father, your mother, kindness to your siblings, chastity, self-control. What should we do? Should we give in to this sin? Should we may as well rush headlong into it? This is who I am. No. Don't do that. It's not who you are in Christ. It's who you are in the flesh, yes. But not who you are in Christ. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Pray that God would sustain you as you're tempted. He would deliver you from your enemies. Cry out to God. He will hear you. He will rescue you. He will sustain. He will uphold. Ask Him to change your heart so that you want to do what is right. And then do it. Now, we'll never be perfect till after this life. But the Lord does give victories in this life. We can apply this to the struggle that's faced about dating and courtship. Young people, this is a struggle you face. If you're dating someone or courting someone, you ought to be able to talk about spiritual matters with him, with her. We're in a great spiritual struggle. Not that we need to get into the specifics of temptations, but you must be on the same page about temptations, about sin, about fighting against it. If you're striving to resist sin, but the one you're dating is not, or is not very serious spiritually, that's a problem. You need to think very carefully about the one you date, about the one you court. Are we on the same page here? Are we struggling together? Not against each other, but against sin. But this isn't only for young people. It's for each one of us. Do you have a besetting sin? Or better to ask, which sin is your besetting sin or sins? A sin you struggle with day in, day out, week after week, year after year. You confess it to the Lord, yet you find yourself confessing again and again. Keep confessing, but also pray this aspect. Not only forgive us our debts, but lead us not into temptation. Cling to the Lord. Recognizing your enemies, pleading the blood of Christ, the righteousness, the power of Christ. Jesus knows your weakness. He commanded you and me to pray this because He knows our weakness. Ask your Heavenly Father to help you fight against sin because there are enemies around. Again, don't just ask at night or in the morning. Ask more than that. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we're asking that God would not leave us to fight these enemies by ourselves. We would fall. We pray that God would deliver us from them. We pray, God, sustain me in temptation and bring us to deliverance, into that final victory. Because we are weak, God has given us also others. If you cannot rule over a particular desire, if it continues to lure you and entice you and then conceives and gives birth to sin. If you find yourself bound to a sin, talk to an elder, your elder, a godly person. Pornography is especially pernicious in this regard. It's something that's often hidden. Yes, it's embarrassing. Yes, it's humbling. Humble yourself by God's grace. Seek God's help and seek accountability. Others' help is needed. This prayer is more than simply asking that God would not leave us alone in the temptations in this life. We're praying that God would give us the final victory. That God would work that final deliverance. That day will come when we will never come into temptation finally. There will never be the possibility of temptation. We think of when someone dies. For the Christian, it's a blessing. Our sinning is over. No more temptation. No more sinful nature. No more devil. No more world assaulting us. Finally free. We pray that God would sustain us in this life while we're tempted and bring us to that point beyond all that. Whether our own death, that situation, or Christ coming again. That's the ultimate solution, the ultimate deliverance. So, Lord, defeat these enemies. Deliver us from them so that eventually there is no longer an attack. So that the warfare is over. It's ceased. The victory is complete. Not just the moment, not just the day, not just over one area in our lives, but forever and overall. You see then, brothers and sisters, that as we sincerely pray this request, it means we're striving against these spiritual enemies. We're resisting them. And we're seeking to avoid areas and moments where we know we're weak. We know we'll be tempted. We ask in faith. We ask in obedience to Christ's command to us to pray this. Well, be assured, believer, of God's help. That's what we move to in our third point. God's help. Who can survive these enemies' attacks? They're powerful. In ourselves, we cannot survive. But brothers and sisters, we are not alone. Jesus told you, he told me to pray this prayer for a reason. Listen again to what the Apostle Paul wrote. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Christ has conquered sin. By his death and his resurrection, he paid for our sin. Our debts are forgiven. We saw that last time. But he's also actually put sin to death. He's ushered in a new life of righteousness and life. We saw this morning how he turned reality on its head so that servants are now great. He's turned reality on its head regarding righteousness too. All those who entrust themselves to Jesus, who are joined to him by the Spirit through faith, all of us have our sins forgiven, and we participate in Christ's righteousness, his victory over sin. Believe in Jesus and what God has done in him. Believe that by his death and resurrection, he has conquered sin, Satan, the world. Entrust yourself to him. That's who you are in Christ. And so turn away from sin and these enemies. And by his grace and the power of Christ's Spirit, resist them. Holding before your heart and mind, not your strength, but the good news of Christ's victory over them. They're defeated, even as this desire tries to lure and entice you. Confront it with the gospel. And not just forgiveness for sins done, but confront it with Christ conquered that sinful desire. And you don't have to give in to it. No temptation has seized you, except what is common to man. God is gracious. He has given a way out that you may stand up under it. You can't conquer these enemies simply by acknowledging they're tempting you and you shouldn't sin. You can't resist them by reminding yourself of the law, because the problem is not just knowing right and wrong. It's desire. It's our heart. It's what we want to do. And the problem is not so much in our head as in our hearts. And the law doesn't change hearts, but it's Christ by his Spirit who changes our hearts. And he does it by means of the gospel. Keep telling yourself and each other the gospel. It's one reason why the Lord has given to us what we call the means of grace. Preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. So that by them he works faith within our hearts. Faith, not in ourselves. Faith in Christ and God's promises. Through that faith we are strengthened by the Spirit to resist our enemies. To persevere in the Christian life. Oh yes, preaching, sacraments, they're weak as man views strength. But God has chosen to use these means to strengthen faith, to renew us, to change us and our wants, to focus us on Christ so we wouldn't boast in ourselves, but boast only and always in him and his power, his grace, his work. Do you find yourself struggling in the Christian walk, in your faith, and in living out faith? Faithfully listen to the preaching of the gospel. Make use of the sacraments, praying that God would use these to strengthen your faith, empower you to resist your enemies. Think back on the gospel that's preached throughout the week. Think back on the gospel that's signified and sealed in the sacraments throughout the week. Praying that God would strengthen you. Uphold you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will answer. He will answer. And do you find that God is answering your prayers? To resist the devil, the world, your own flesh. Do you find that God has brought you to a time of relative calm? That although, yes, you have temptations, but God is pouring out his grace and you're, by his grace, standing firm in the Lord, in the power of his Spirit. Praise God. Praise God and give him thanks. Don't let up your guard. These three enemies, they never stop attacking. In the tour of saints, they often testify to the greatness of their sin, but they also testify to the greatness of our God. How God is faithful. He will not lead us into temptation. He will deliver us from evil. Brothers and sisters, pray for each other. Especially for those who are not as mature, whose faith is not as strong, whose struggle that you know is not as steady as yours. Pray especially for the youth of this congregation. As the spiritual struggles, this point in their lives really hitting them hard in a different way than they've grown up. God mercifully often shields young children from much. But then as they grow into adulthood, that spiritual struggle hits them full on. Pray for them. Pray and seek a way to encourage as the Lord gives opportunity. And notice the Lord taught us to pray as a body. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Not simply as individuals. Uphold one another in prayer and in speaking the gospel to one another, especially in the homes. Ask your Heavenly Father to help you fight against sin. Encourage each other. By God's grace, let us fight the spiritual warfare until the day God gives us that complete, that final victory. God will bring that day. God will bring that complete victory. So in the power of the Holy Spirit, persevere. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing a way out from temptation, for providing a Savior. Yes, we are so thankful for forgiveness, that you don't hold against us any of the sins or the sinful nature we struggle against. But also thank you, Lord, for providing help in this struggle and your promise of perseverance, that we will not go down into defeat. Thank you. But Lord, work in us that we would desire this more and more, that we would strive, that we would not give in, that we would resist again and again and again, crying out to you, Lord, uphold us. Lord, make us strong. Help us. Yes, Lord, help us. Thank you that you desire, that you delight in helping your people. So we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.